felt good.
Who hasn't kicked off an intro in a while? Jackson, it's been a long time for you.
I think Kaya's been longer. Yeah, I think Kaya.
I always forget Kaya even has ever done an intro in the entire history of our podcast.
You say that, but someone did at least less than me.
That's true. It was Jackson.
I did it the most. Well, I did it the most, Charlie.
I think I actually had the least.
Well, welcome to the podcast nobody wants to even do. Apparently, today we have Ethan from H3 Productions.
Thank you. Wow.
This is why you don't intro. Jesus
Christ. I'm honored and thrilled by that illustrious introduction.
You've met our high enthusiasm, Kaya Orsan over there, high flying Kaya the Swift.
Suspiciously terse intro, yes. So, Ethan, give our audience a little intro of yourself for the two people who don't know who you are.
Oh, okay. My name is Ethan Klein. I have a channel on YouTube with my wife. It's called H3H3 Productions. We like to goof and gaff. I'm slightly overweight, and I like to make fun of myself about it.
Amen. So, Ethan, for all the people out there that don't have a wife or have any female companions, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Jesus, man. I get fucking quick out the gate.
It was between this and masturbating. I thought we could ease into
it. I have a lot to say about masturbating, but we can get into that later.
He's prepared.
Yeah. Oh, we'll save that.
He's got pages and pages of notes off camera.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Years, like decades even.
Cue cards.
Honestly, okay, are you actually want like dating advice?
Yeah,
we're all very lonely. Please.
Give us your one key advice. Like if you were giving a speech to, you know, the kind of people who buy self-help books, what would it be? Mm. What's on the back cover of your book?
What's in your TED talk about getting a wife?
Man, that's so hard to, so, I mean, I got lucky, you know, I got lucky to meet someone who's really compatible with me. But I think in my life, I was very open to, I think a lot of guys are resistant to the notion of trusting someone to that level or being open to vulnerable to that someone, if you will. I don't know, but
you say like afraid of commitment.
Yeah, I guess I guess that's how most guys would think about it, right? Afraid of commitment. I was very open to it, and like up until my whole life before I met Ela, I had had several girlfriends, but I had always known that they weren't really the right ones for me. But when I met Ela, it was like there was never a moment where I was like, you know, maybe this is fun for now. Like, there was no end in sight the whole time. And so for me, just knowing that and feeling that, I was willing to, you know, do whatever it took and be whatever I had to make it work. Cause I thought it was, you know, I thought it was right. And it was a good thing. And another thing is like, I think generally speaking, a lot of guys probably are too obsessed with sex. Right. And I think a large part of that is that having sex probably satisfied some insecurity. Like you fuck someone you don't care about, and then it gives you a little self-confidence, right? Like, hey, this person desires me. But I think about sex as like fast food, right? It's like it's good in the moment, but afterwards you hate yourself and you regret doing it. And so like you have to just not care about, you have to understand how cheap and useless, like promiscuous, worthless sex is. And I think having a healthy relationship with that goes a long way to being able to commit and to one person as well. When you realize just how meaningless sex is in exchange for like superficial confidence versus having a fulfilling, like deep, long lasting relationship.
And I think that's a lesson every 10-year-old on Xbox Live needs to learn after they fucked my mother.
So now send your wife out of the room and give us your real answer, please.
She is standing right behind me. Ela, what do you think about what I just said?
That was very nice.
She said it was very nice. She doesn't fucking care.
That
trust
was
me.
Very nice.
She doesn't care.
So speaking of...
She's looking for some of that fast food, Ethan.
Yeah.
She lowered the gun.
By the way, I still eat way too much fast food for the record. So I'm failing on one end, but doing well on the other. Also, nobody wants to touch my dick, too, so that helps.
don't say that. Come on, that's just objectively untrue.
Really? Are you speaking for yourself?
Oh,
I'm speaking for all of the 20-plus-year-old men out there right now.
Okay, I do. YouTube. Yeah, all the males want to touch my dick. I do often think about though, like a fucking mega famous Hollywood hunk wherever he goes out, everybody wants to suck his dick. Like, that level of temptation is something that almost nobody knows. Well, and that's got to be really, really twisted to deal with, too.
In a way, because imagine when you get old, though. Because all of those people, imagine being Brad Pitt, and then one day you're going to be so saggy nobody wants you anymore. After a lifetime of you getting used to this. But it's like, the taller you are, the harder you're going to fall.
I think by the time Brad Pitt's dick stops working, somebody will have always been wanting to suck it.
Yeah, but at that, when they do stop, it'll hurt all the more, I think, for him.
I think if that's where he's
spending your life all that way.
I don't think it'll ever stop. Someone's going to be sucking his dead dick, dude.
Yeah, I think so, too.
People dig up Brad Pitt's corpse to suck that dick. Don't get it wrong.
He'll be buried with 10 beautiful women.
I think men do have it much easier than women in that regard, because men are always attractive to some degree, even when they're fucking flabby.
I'm sorry, I just... That's a joke, but I bet you could find 10 women who would be willing to sacrifice themselves to be entombed with Brad Pitt.
Absolutely.
Probably.
In a pyramid.
I'd do it. If you asked me, I'd have to think about it.
Yeah, it'd be one of those things where, like, well, maybe.
Are you guys all single? What's going on with you guys? What's the love in your guys' life?
I have a girlfriend. Yeah. Two of us have girlfriends. Two of us have nothing.
Hands.
Who has girlfriends?
Myself and Charlie.
Charlie, tell me about what's going on with her. How's it going?
I mean, it's going pretty well. I mean, there was this, like you said, there's always that one time where you're like, you know what, this might be a keeper. And for me, it was when I was driving down a famous road in the Orlando area called I-4. And we had just finished a really fun day in Orlando. And as we were driving down this really shitty road, I don't know if you've ever been down it, Ethan. It's a horrible road. We were driving down, and I saw this innocent sign for just a wholesome restaurant called Boardwalk Burgers. Nothing out of the norm about it, just a wholesome family joint where some homeless people slap some patties on the foreman. And with my razor-sharp wit, I turn to my girlfriend and I say, Boardwalk Burgers, more like Board Burgers, because those burgers aren't having any fun. And she didn't laugh, much like you didn't. That's when I knew.
Wow, dude, so, okay, I guess there's always one moment.
Mm-hmm. That was when my Gordian knot was cut.
Ooh,
damn!
Nice.
I feel like I'm assuming that's not a true story.
as hard as it is to believe, that is a true story. That's not fantasy.
Man, that's I feel like you're a little bit like George Costanza from Seinfeld right now, giving it like impossibly high standards.
You think that joke was impossibly high? That's the nicest thing anyone said about
that. You're saying
joke.
The fact that she didn't laugh, he should just get rid of her by now.
I think you can overlook that.
Oh, wait. Are you saying it was unbelievable that she didn't laugh at that joke because it's so good?
You were saying that you knew she wasn't the one when she didn't laugh.
No. I knew she was the one when she didn't laugh. That's
okay.
When I was like, yeah, that makes sense because it's
got
a bad
it.
Joke.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I totally misunderstood that. God bless you, dude.
Mm-hmm. There's no girl. You just wanted to tell that joke.
There's no girl.
I'm alone.
Never spent a girl.
Interesting.
He loves telling
so, joke. So what was it about it that the fact that she didn't laugh, you're like, damn, dude, this girl does not laugh at when I say shitty jokes. What was it about it?
There was nothing about it. It was just a joke that I remembered. It was a real story. Like, that joke happened. I did tell it and she did not laugh, but I just thought about telling that joke.
There was no true love. It was just a meme.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was just, you didn't like that joke. That's fine.
It was okay. You know, I mean, I smiled. I'm not a laugher. Do you guys any relate to that? I don't laugh readily, and I wish that I did laugh more readily because it's such a charming thing to do. But I just don't. I smile. I smile and I exhale through my nose a lot.
Depends if you have a good laugh though. If you got a bad laugh, I'd prefer not to laugh.
Hmm.
I think I laugh at everything.
Does it change momentarily for you, Jackson? Like, I got a bad laugh today.
I've come down with a bad laugh, boys. I won't be giggling today.
You know, as funny
as objectively that was. Bad laughs.
That's true. Yeah, there are. I don't know. I like laughing because it's more entertainment for me. I enjoy laughing, so I laugh. I don't really think if it's going to annoy anybody. You know, invariably it does, but there you go.
I think it's healthy. Laughter is a beautiful, happy thing. Everybody should laugh.
Are you crying?
So emotional.
He's getting choked up.
I'm just so happy right now.
Oh, he gets so happy he could laugh.
It's all thanks to the Boardwalk Burgers joke.
It took me a minute to understand it, but I just
it's a thinking man's joke.
Yeah, it's a thinking man's joke.
It's definitely high level stuff.
Now, absolutely. If we could stop getting sidetracked though on these very important decisions,
masturbation,
love, laughter. Yes, exactly. Right back on topic. You've obviously gotten the script. You have
so most people. It seems you use your predominant hand, is what I understand, right?
Unless the calluses make it a little worse, yeah.
Jesus, you must be beating that meat fucking hard as hell, boy.
I beat it like my stepchild, let me tell you.
So I actually use my offhand.
So isn't that interesting?
Because it feels like someone else?
No.
You know, I don't know that was initially my strategy, but maybe that is, you know, maybe that's it, something to that.
Wait, are you a lefty or a righty?
I'm a righty, and I do exclusively with my lefty. If I do my right, it's like there's no sensation at all.
God, you're describing me. Are we long lost twins?
Oh my God, dude, we need to jerk each other's dicks. The left boys.
It feels like I'm doing it.
Oh, but it feels like it's me.
No, okay, does this also apply to you? My right hand, you know, dominant hand, I use it for everything. Excellent coordination. I cannot use the left for it. Fuck all. I couldn't use a spoon with my left hand or even hold a glass for most of the time. But it's excellent at jacking me off.
That's right. No, so same thing. My
specialized
left hand.
In one task. Exactly. Grabbing my dick.
It's like it's a 100%. I can't use my left hand for anything but fucking pleasing my swollen red sausage.
Do you keep it under like a singular glove like Michael Jackson? And then late at night you just go, it's time, and just pull it out. It's pristine and clean, yes. Shining in the moonlight.
Yes, I fill it with Vaseline, and I just keep it lubed up for that one special moment.
Oh, so when you go to the toilet to piss, do you use your left hand to hold your dick?
No, I don't. How about you? I'm just comparing at this point.
Oh, I just had a thought. Going back to the relationship thing connected with masturbating, I thought this was a good tie together. I think it's important for people listening. If you ever feel tempted, go to the bathroom, jerk one out, and see if that temptation doesn't go away immediately. Okay,
that is completely correct.
Amen. I've always been an advocate for jerking off before dates,
bro. Yeah. If before any important, fuck that, before any important life decision, just go jerk one out and see if your disposition doesn't change.
Especially completely if you're in court.
Mm. Yeah,
just jerk it out under the fucking desk, man. Most people wouldn't even notice.
Yeah,
you don't know how many times my boner has led to a bad job interview.
Why do you think?
You gotta make sure they
high.
Know. You're an alpha male. You gotta jump up, slam your dick on the table, on the judge's gavel. Just shoot some turbid gummy blobs of cum in his face. Say, that's the law.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing if law cases were served by, like, who could come first. He's guilty, Your Honor.
What?
That sounds like a compelling plot line.
I would watch that movie.
I'd watch that.
That movie would go for 5 minutes.
Anyway, where were we? I really needed to say that. So
interesting masturbatory tales from down under.
Mm. Well, what hands do you guys wipe with? Because I got a weird wiping habit, my dudes, and it's kind of embarrassing to admit it.
Go for it.
Is this related to how you masturbate?
So left hand is cranking it, right hand is wiping, right?
I lubricate with poo. Does anyone else lubricate with poo?
No, only the intellectuals who love cooking. Only that. Well.
That's right after I get off the phone with Jordan Peterson.
It's good moisturizer.
Damn it. Don't get us in trouble with his fans.
Once again, so unlike how I jerk, I wipe with my right, okay? Mm-hmm. But here's the strange part, and I've had a conversation like this with my friends, and they acted like I was crazy. I lift up my balls and my dick, and I reach under and wipe from, I guess you would say, back to front, and then out below my legs while I'm sitting on the pot.
Wait,
right?
What? You wipe towards your balls?
I don't wipe it on my balls, dude. What the fuck? Why is that so hard to understand? You wipe.
Why can't you just wipe the other way?
No, Ethan, it sounds like you wipe it all over your balls.
Bro, there's so... You have a chode, my dude. It's like 3 inches of free
and that's
spot.
Not where you store your excess feces, Ethan.
But you don't understand because you don't wipe this way. Like you by that
why
definition.
Why do you wipe that way though? What by benefit does this serve?
I don't know. Why are you the way you are? God makes decisions. He rolls the dice, and I ended up as a front wiper. But by your logic, the shit ends up your own ass crack, and I'm sure that's not what happens.
That's better than being on your balls, though.
Why I don't get shit in my ass crack. or on my balls. Because listen, I'm a skilled wiper. I know what I'm doing. I'm a fucking artisan.
Virtuoso of ball lifting and ass wiping.
Well, anyway, I knew you guys were all going to be haters, but I told this to a group of one of my friends, and they're all like, dude, you're fucked up. But one of my friends, after quietly staying silent, he speaks up and he says, my dad wipes that way. And then he took the heat off me. He took the heat off me because everyone's like, how the fuck do you know your dad wipes that way?
Oh, boy. Son, come here. I'm going to teach you how to wipe like a man.
Apparently
it was like a scene out of Friday where his dad brought him in there to fucking lecture him about something while he wiped his ass. That's an alpha play.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So has there ever been collateral damage from your, I don't know, primitive way of wiping where like maybe you got some on your legs or something? Because this just seems so mechanically awkward.
Yeah, it doesn't add up.
Ball
never.
Wrinkles?
Never, my dudes. And let me tell you what doesn't add up. Standing up to wipe your ass, you freaks. Oh,
no, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, that's a new can of worms. That one's
that's
just
nonsense.
You have to like scoot forward and put your hand in the inside, like the backside. Like the way I do it, the way I do it is like Operation Man. I don't touch any fucking sides. I don't touch the toilet bowl. It's all gravy, my doggy. And the gravy doesn't get anywhere it's not supposed to.
Sounds like an Anthony Sullivan TV infomercial.
Wait, so do you guys stand to wipe or not?
I do.
Oh my God. Always end with a wet one. That's what I've learned.
Oh yeah. No, I stand to wipe. It's the easiest way to do it.
Oh, thank God. I thought I was weird.
Wait, you guys are talking about, I thought you said Santa, like Santa.
No.
We did. I don't know. Coming this Christmas.
It's like a sanitary wipe.
No.
Well, I'm on board that argument as well. I always end with a baby wipe just to get it.
Always end with a wet one.
It makes you
so
feel
important.
So much cleaner.
Amateurs. You have to shower your asshole after you poop.
Bro, how much time do you have?
I told this before on the podcast, but every single shit Kaya takes, he takes a full fucking shower.
That's neurotic, bro. That's not normal.
Well, he also shits while standing on his head, so I mean, he's got a lot of
that, okay, yeah.
So
what I do is
I try to time my shitting and my showering, so I just shit right before I have to shower anyway. So
okay.
I wipe nice and clean, and then I just hold the nozzle to my asshole to waterboard
let me ask you
it a
this.
Little bit.
Waterboard it. I like that image. Let me ask you this. What if you have an unexpected shit?
Well, then I still shower. It's not like I run out of water.
How frequently do you shower?
Out in public? What if it's out in public and you need to shit?
Are you cramming yourself in the fucking... Are you cramming yourself in the sink at Disney World? What happens?
No. Yeah, exactly.
How disgusting do you have to be to shit in public?
Okay. But it happens.
But
have you ever shit in public? Yeah, shit
happens,
bro.
What are you, 4 years old? That's like how my nephew behaves.
You have to be kidding me. Well, Jackson gets fucking downright nude and gets out like a rubber fist every time he shits, so his is irrelevant.
What the fuck? You've never been to Mexico, had a couple of spicy burritos and, you know, shit your brains out at the airport?
Or a single drink of water from
Mexico? Or just ever eat in public? Like, come on, everyone shits in public.
It
happens.
Do not buy it. It's part of living.
Is different. You can pee in public, but I'm never going to touch my ass.
Okay, let me just get this straight.
You don't even need to pee in a toilet. You can just pee anywhere. It's great.
Let me get this straight. You're saying you've never shit in public since you become an adult?
Never.
Okay. That's fucking weird, my
dude. I once ditched school just to go home and shit and just play games.
Are you single? Are you the one single or with a girlfriend?
No, I'm single. I don't know how that relates to my public shitting habits. I wasn't going to meet girls in the stall.
It's going to be hard to
explain
that. I
don't know how your life functions at some points, boss. I can't come into work today. I have to take a shit.
I don't know how your life functions where you cannot go 5 hours without shitting.
Well, 5 hours? What if you're out all day? What if you go somewhere in the morning and you're not going to be back till that night?
What if you're literally anywhere out of state?
Yeah.
You're like
why are you arguing against
this,
Jackson?
I don't know why we're like angry about it. But maybe it's because I don't believe you. I don't believe that you've never shit out, not in your own, or I don't believe you've never shit in public in your adult life.
No, I haven't. I mean, are you not believing me because you're including like hotel rooms and stuff? Because that's a different
At a toilet you didn't want to shit at because you just had to take a shit. Like sometimes that happens. It's a fact of life.
Listen, if I had to do it that badly, I would, but I just never had to. I just coordinated good, I guess.
Well,
I don't
eat a lot. I can understand that. Kaya lives off of like caffeine and like sugar
and stuff. I used to, not anymore.
Is your diet very regulated?
Well, up until 2 weeks ago, I used to live on Pringles, chips, and, you know, Mars bars and Coca-Cola. Mm. That was it. So, yeah, wow. I used to shit like every 5 minutes. But now I switch that up and I feel great. No sugar.
What are you eating now? Amazing.
Blue Apron is what he's eating.
No. I wanted it. God damn it.
Blue Apron is what he's eating. We can all say it and I'll splice it in.
Blue Apron is what he's eating.
I eat Blue Apron. I'm glad you asked.
Why do you eat Blue Apron, Kaya?
Well, tell him why I eat Blue Apron, Andrew.
Well, I think Kaya eats Blue Apron because of the convenience, the variety, the flexibility, and the high quality found only at Blue Apron. If I were to reach into a hat filled with adjectives on little pieces of paper, I would pull one out, and as dictated by Ethan right now, it would say...
Relatable and real.
I have a competing sponsor.
That's
what
right.
It said in that hat.
That was a long adjective. The important thing about Blue Apron is for 8 weeks they are teaming up.
That's
with
why
Whole
you're
30.
Fat, by the way.
They are teaming up with Whole 30 to bring you delicious recipes. The menu will feature two Whole 30 approved recipes each week. You can kickstart your new year with Blue Apron and Whole 30. Now, Blue Apron is treating the official podcast listeners to $30 off your first order, and that's so important they highlighted it in yellow for me. If you visit blueapron.com/, what is it, Jackson?
Official.
So check out this week's menu, get $30 off your free shipping. $30 off and free shipping. They highlighted it twice and I fucked it up. At blueapron.com/, what was it again, Jackson? I didn't hear you.
Official.
Great. blueapron.com, a better way to cook.
Wait, before we go, can we tell them what the January monthly recipes are, Andrew?
If you feel like it.
All right, let's go in jack order. We've each got one recipe.
Sure.
So my one is Whole30 approved seared steaks and warm lemon salsa verde with roasted broccoli and sweet potato. Take it away, Andrew. What's
mine
yours?
Is Whole30 registered copyright approved chicken and kale orange salad with spicy tahini dressing. Go, Charlie.
Wow, I drew the best stick in this hand here. Mine is spicy pork and Korean rice cakes with baby bok choy.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Vegetable fried rice with togarashi peanuts. I don't even know what togarashi peanuts are, but I like them.
He invented the Nintendo.
So you'll get pre-portioned ingredients that can be cooked in under 45 minutes, delivered to your door, blueapron.com/official. And Ethan was part of that ad, and we have it on record that he was a part
not
of it.
Not associated, not endorsed.
but he was a part of it.
Literally, I don't even know who or what you're selling, buddy, but I don't want none of it.
You're the one who got us this deal.
Yeah.
Ethan was like, I love Blue Apron so literally, much, I'm going to hook up the official boys.
Literally, before
Apron.
The show, he was like, oh, God, I just tried some of that pork from Blue Apron. So fucking
never
good.
Heard of that company.
No, you have.
Yeah, now you're an accomplice now.
Send me some of that fucking pork bok choy.
From where?
I'm sorry, Ethan, I can't do that. I'll be gobbling all of it up. Too yummy.
Okay, all right. Damn, shit, I really wanted some of that.
So speaking of delicious handcrafted home meals, whatever, Ethan, I really want to know about your voice acting for Payday 2.
Oh, cool.
And how that went, because I saw that you were literally just plopped right in that, and I no offense to you, I thought it kind of unusual that this game about robbing banks and wearing masks is like featuring e-celebrity H3H3.
Yeah, I think for most people it was really a strange pairing, but...
Yeah, so I'm just wondering how went and your experience and anything you can
tell
us.
Yeah, of course. So Starbreeze, Overkill, those are the companies that make it, and their marketing director... is this really awesome dude named Almir. And we had hooked up around the time where we were being sued and we had made a video being like, man, we're going to be fucking bankrupt and whatever. And it was a long, long time ago when we made that video because the lawsuit went on for over a year. So at the very beginning, he reached out and he's like, hey man, we over here at, Payday 2 want to help you guys out and find a way to support you. And we're like, cool. So we had been scheming to do this collab a way that they wanted to do to support us for, you know, over a year. It just took forever to get it out the door. So a couple months later, we flew out to Sweden and we did like a this thing they do called Starstream and announce it. It started as a April Fool's like joke, like a year before it actually came out. And everyone, I guess there was a really good reception to it. So they were like, hey, maybe it's not that crazy of an idea. And I mean, the game was entering basically the end of its life cycle. So they're like, you know, whatever, fuck it, whatever we can do to breathe new life into this game. So we flew out to Sweden, had an awesome time there. There was not, contrary to what a lot of people say, there was not a bunch of people being raped by Muslims, at least not in my periphery. It was very peaceful and nice. I only say that because we made a vlog there and like so many fucking inflammatory, awful comments, like shit like that. I was shocked that there was this whole thing about Sweden. But at any rate, I digress. Yeah, it was super fun. The company, everyone there is super nice. They just wanted to be supportive. And so we came back to LA. And a couple months later, still, we started doing, or when we were in Sweden, they were taking photos of us and taking our measurements and stuff so they could put us in the game. And then we came out to LA. We did like 10 super long voice sessions because there's so many lines in that game. There must be like several thousand lines that we did. And then we must have spent like 20 or 30 hours in the studio. It was grueling, man. It was super, super intense. But it was an awesome experience, like actually doing professional voice acting and working on that capacity on a really high level game. So it was super fun. I know it was really unexpected. Yeah.
Is this the first voice acting that you've ever done?
Yeah, for sure.
So did you find it difficult to get into that kind of that mindset that you have to act?
It's harder than I thought it would be, for sure. And I know Ela had a really hard time with it because she's just like naturally very shy and introverted. And so at first we did one session and she was like, dude, there's no fucking way that I'm going to be able to do this. And she was just like, just take me out of the game and just do Ethan. But they were super supportive and they're like, you know what? No, we need you in the game. So they got her a voice acting coach. And by the end of it, she scared the shit out of me, dude. She stole the show, man. She was so good at it.
So how much of it was like you have to go by the script and they need these certain lines, and how much of it was they really just wanted to inject your, you know, own flair into it?
So it was like, well, it all started from a script and they're like, you know, do whatever you want with it. But it was 90% on script. And then we did a couple of sessions at the end where they're like, just, you know, go off the rails and say whatever you want. But it's because it's so drawn out and time consuming. It's really hard to get creative because they want you just to be blasting through lines like with no pause in between, you know. And if you actually take your time and get really creative with it, which we tried doing, it can end up tripling the amount of time that it takes of already super long recording. So it was a lot of script, and some of the stuff is like, well, I would never actually say that. So you had to kind of change it on the spot, but it was, yeah, mostly
I certainly
scripted.
Hope you would not say something like, let's rob this fucking bank or something like that.
Oh, I said a lot of shit like that.
Well, you'd have to rob a bank after a stay in Sweden. Did you notice how expensive it is?
I came from New York at the time, and I was actually surprised that it wasn't as expensive as I thought.
Last time I was there, like a little bottle of water will cost you a pint of virgin blood in your firstborn.
Oh yeah, no, they didn't ask for that. Just like $3.
Basically the same thing.
It's a different time back then.
Isn't that a thing?
That's not Turkey currency.
Isn't that a thing though with Scandinavia and some areas like that? Like things that in America you
they
usually
like
get for free.
Blood.
Well, they do love that. They drink it up like hotcakes. But no, like things that in America you kind of get as part of the service, like bread and water, are not free at all, and they're actually like $4 or $5 everywhere you go.
Wait, you get water for free? What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, what are you referring to? Like at a hotel or a flight? Or
like
or
at
do you
restaurants.
Get water for free.
Yeah.
Oh,
like
at restaurants.
Like at restaurants,
yeah, yeah.
And stuff where like it's you a, know. In America, yeah. Every restaurant, it's like, have some free water, yeah, or whatever, but anywhere there is not the case.
You still need to buy a bottle of water, though, like packaged water.
It's but a very European like thing. Bucks. So, yeah, if you ask for water there, they'll bring you like a $8 bottle of glass Evian or something. And if you're like, no, I want still water, they'll like go to the toilet and fucking take it out of the tank.
Fish it out for you.
They don't flush it first either.
Oh, no. No.
My favorite.
They want you to know that they know.
That's soupy water. So There's a question I've been wanting to ask you, Ethan. So you're big friends with hip-hop's only good artist these days, Post Malone. So when can we expect you on one of Post Malone's songs?
That's pretty funny. The first time I hung out with him, or maybe it was the second time, we went to a studio and we were fucking around a lot. I don't know, man. Probably never, to be honest. he's like, at first, he's gotten way too big to put my dumb ass on his album. You know what I mean? Like, I think when we first met, it was just all goofs and there was nothing at stake. But now he's like one of the biggest artists in the world. So I think most of his fans don't know who I am now at this point. So, but one thing that I would love to do is, and I know Austin does too, is to finalize the So Flow Like Antonio. I don't know if you've heard that little fucking remix we've done. We want to make I made this video with him and we were just goofing around. We ended up making this song called So Flow Like Antonio. We were goofing on So Flow Antonio. And we actually got in touch with So Flow since then. And he said he wants to be in the music video. So that would probably end up being something for H3H3, not his album. But if I had to guess, I'll probably never be on his album.
You don't think there's any career in rap for you?
You know what, man? I honestly, I don't want to be another YouTuber trying to rap, if I'm being honest.
You've never written out like a rap love song or anything like that?
A rap ballad? No, not yet.
I'll take this chance and ask Charlie. I don't think you've ever really elaborated quite why you hate Rice Gum. Would you like to?
Do you like Rice Gum?
Out of nowhere? Oh, yeah. No, I mean, for like the last 2 years, I've stayed firm that he's my least favorite person on the site.
Interesting.
It's not like a personal grudge or anything. He's not entertaining and he's just a douchebag. I think more so than the Paul brothers and all the other horrible people on the side. I just find him to be the most insufferable.
I mean, that's definitely a defensible position to take.
I just find nothing he's done to be of any quality beyond like elementary school. Like his rapping is juvenile. His content and quote jokes are awful. And he's just a bad person.
Charlie, I don't understand where your hate comes from. I mean, I'm just looking at his channel right now and his quality video from a month ago called Can I Touch Your Butt?
Got him!
5.6 million views with a peach emoji as well as
haters,
a woman's ass.
Watch out, haters.
Exactly. I don't see what is the problem here, Charlie? What?
I guess it's just my poor taste. In
obviously, followed by
I
a
guess.
Video a few weeks later called Why Is She Twerking on Santa? With the same peach emoji. With a big butt, the same peach emoji, and a surprised face emoji. What is the problem?
We need to get Rice Gum on here to clear this up for us.
And then 3 days ago, you know, this man is consistent with his track record. Can You Massage My Booty? Where a woman's butt is not only in the thumbnail, but is replaced by said peach emoji. Come on.
I'm sensing a theme here, Andrew.
Also, I just noticed there is sweat drops coming out of the booty. So this thumbnail, I don't think was very properly thought through because she looks like she's drinking it. This looks right, a little unsavory.
I will say that I think it's easy to underestimate how young his audience are because he shares basically the same audience as Jake Paul, right? And I mean, these are like 8 to 12 year olds. So
they're not Jake Paul's, are they?
Yeah, Rice Gummers?
Yeah.
Gum Boys?
Yeah. I thought they were warring factions.
I'm just saying that like Gum Boys are the same age as Jake Paulers.
Ooh. Damn. Wow. Yikes. You heard it here first. Ethan hates Rice Gum and kids.
That's right.
It's always a cop-out. I don't believe it. I think that's a conspiracy theory that every channel that just sucks so much ass has to be so popular because of children. I think
there's no way. Kaya, it's not just children. It's the gap of our age. It's kids, and then the people around our age hate it. But then adults go, look at this wacky little youngin doing this stupid bullshit with his friends.
They don't. It is kids.
It's kids, man.
Well, no, it's not just kids. Think about it this way. Vast majority.
Yes. People don't understand. Yeah. The vast demographic, like I'd say 70% of the people who use YouTube on a daily basis are under the age of 16.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I agree to that. I completely agree.
I consent.
I concur.
So, I mean, it is kids. It's kids. It's not a conspiracy theory. It really is kids.
I don't want to believe it.
I mean, kids run the fucking internet.
Why don't
you believe it?
Kind of.
I mean, it's in denial.
I mean, what more proof do you need? Why is the current big trend literally eating Tide Pods?
Is it though? No, no. I've seen more memes about that than I have seen any videos of anyone eating them.
You know what? It's because YouTube's removing videos. But I was like, what the fuck is this? So I go on YouTube and I'm like, Tide Pod Challenge, and all the videos that come up have like 500-600 views because YouTube's deleting them all. And I swear to you, man, I just saw people fucking. I saw one dude who didn't have Tide Pods, so he just took a cup of fucking laundry detergent in his mouth.
Yes. That kid is my hero.
What the hell is this?
Efficient. That's efficient.
Fuck yeah.
Brave he knew soldier. It wasn't food. He just that's just a death video.
He knew it wasn't food as opposed to the Tide Pods.
No, that isn't that where the meme started from? They thought Tide Pods were food or some shit.
No, they didn't think they were food. The whole point is they look like candy, so they're like, oh, forbidden snacks, don't eat it. It looks good, but don't eat it.
If you are 3 years old, no 3 year old would even eat a Tide Pod. How is this even possible?
It's not 3 year old. It's mainly like it's the gumballs or whatever they're called.
I think you misunderstand 3 year olds. If you gave a 3 year old Tide Pods, they'd definitely stick
that. I agree.
No, they would not eat them. There's a huge difference between putting it in your mouth and swallowing.
I ate coins when I was three.
Jackson, have you tried?
All right, wait
your,
a minute.
No, hang on. Jackson, you have a Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah.
Have you tried licking the cartridges?
I'm not three.
I did. I have.
Yeah, no,
I did. Jackson, I ate it. I passed it. I washed it out. I put it in. It works.
No, this is not a joke. Nintendo actually
what
sprays
game was it.
It was Zelda, obviously.
Oh,
go, Kaya. What were you saying?
Nintendo sprays a bitterant on the cartridges so children don't eat it. So they taste absolutely disgusting. So children don't actually even bother to eat them or lick them.
It is true.
But these literally look like candy, though. They look so bright and delicious.
Yeah, but when it starts burning your mouth like horse shit on fire, I don't think you're
going to
swallow
it. Then the damage
is
done anyway. Yeah, well, okay. They're not going
to... I do recommend everyone listening to go lick their Switch cartridges.
Please do.
It's interesting.
That's actually a really good question that Jackson brings up. Why the fuck do they color them to be so bright and appetizing?
I think it was started as a troll to actually try to get people to eat it. I don't think it was serious. And then,
what do you want the detergent company to do? Make them all black and disgusting looking? Like you wash your clothes with this disgusting pile of dog shit.
Sense.
It's the same reason why like everything looks colorful and nice, because people don't want like rust buckets just sitting around that growing fucking fungus on it.
All I know is I'm suing them. I didn't eat it, but I thought about it, and I think that's damage.
I thought about doing it. I have a case.
In my mind, I ate it, and that's a goddamn felony.
I felt irpy in my head, and when I thought about throwing it up, I was disgusted. I think I have a case.
Ethan got a taste of the legal system. Now he wants more.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Back Trust me, dude. I would do anything to avoid the legal system. Like, I would suck Brad. I would suck Brad Pitt's decomposing dead cock to avoid being sued again.
Thought you were gonna say DiCaprio, also a good choice.
Brad Pitt's DiCaprio's cock.
I was trying to tie it back in, you know, to an old joke, but I kind of stumbled over
That's
it a little
good
bit.
One. So, Ethan, we take questions from our patrons, and somebody called .exe is asking, now that the court case is done with, how is it affecting your content, if at all?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. First of all, shout out to everyone supporting you guys on Patreon. God bless them. I love Patreon, and I think. I shout you guys out. Actually, I'm going to support you guys on Patreon. Shit, I should do that. I'm going to pledge you guys $5 right after this shit finishes.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Ethan.
That's so sweet.
I'm putting five on the table right after
Damn.
This.
Damn.
Be cool like Ethan.
You really don't have to, but thank you.
Actually, after we won that lawsuit, it was... it was weird. We kind of stopped posting videos. I took like a hiatus, but it definitely empowered me a lot. Before the lawsuit, I was super careful and super paranoid and super conscientious, like over cautious about how I edited my videos. And I'm so thankful that I was, because ultimately we got sued and it's what saved our ass. And I learned a lot about the limits and kind of what you can do with other people's footage that still constitutes fair use. As I came to understand it, we were like way, way, way in the green. And, well, for one, I'm still very cautious as I was, but definitely now that I've been like exonerated and I know the limits and the legal limits of fair use, I definitely don't worry as much about getting in trouble for it. So in a way, I'm doing the same thing I was, but I was always concerned about it. And somehow my greatest fear came true that some asshole ended up suing me for copyright infringement. But now it's a huge load off. I mean, it's incredible. Sometimes
now there's
just
a precedent set too, right? Now you've kind of paved the way for that, at least in a legal system setting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only example before us was William Ray Johnson versus Junkin Media. And I think what happened was they had come to some agreement, but it was definitely not looking good for Ray William Johnson. His lawyers had fucked up somehow. But I think his content is way less fair use than the way we do it. But it wasn't a very complete ruling, that one. And so up until that, there was really no precedent. So now, in my opinion, I think fair use is really well protected now after that lawsuit on YouTube specifically.
I think that's fair. Tell that to the WWE that still daily takes down my Birth of the Dragon video, but I keep putting it back up.
You should wait. So tell me about that a little bit.
Well, I don't know if you know, Ethan, but Birth of the Dragon was 2017's biggest stinker, just a real stinky ball sack of a movie. I gave it a 5%. I'll spoil it. Almost immediately, the WWE blocked it worldwide. I fought it, got it back up. About 5 days later, they blocked it worldwide again.
I didn't know you could do that. I thought you lose and then that's it.
No, because they did they're too dumb to take it down, so they blocked it, which made it very easy to appeal.
Well, no, that's a legal loophole for them, because if they block it, they're not liable for a wrongful DMCA.
Well, maybe I'm the fucking idiot then, but it made it easy to fight, and I just kind of became this, well, fun's the wrong word, but this eventful tug of war between us. Your movie sucks, Adam, gave me like a copy-pasted what I should say to them. So every time they blocked it, I would just copy and paste that until the most recent one, where they must have called in like their ringer or something, because now it's blocked worldwide by like a totally unrelated entity that I've never even heard of before. It's like AAACX Media or something.
You found the shadow company. You're taking apart the Ponzi scheme.
What is the status of it now?
It's blocked worldwide. I didn't want to recopy and paste it.
Okay. I mean, if it's not a big deal to you, you can leave it. But honestly, I just think it's fucked up that.
Oh, it's very
fucked up.
It's just
so fucked up that these.
If you're listening to this, Vince McMahon, the commissioner, I will stone cold stunner that ass.
Bro, don't. You'll go straight Trump on his ass, bro.
I'll fucking drop it. I'll drop that ass down low hard.
Well, if I know it keeps happening to people like Adam, for example, I know he gets fucked with a lot. And I think it's about time that there's a class action lawsuit against these people who abuse their powers, because there's precedent. I mean, it's in the law that you can't abuse that. So these guys are fucking around and abusing their power, and it is illegal.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, who has that kind of money on YouTube right now that would be able to take down a titan like Vince McMahon?
Jake Paul.
I mean, I know Vince McMahon isn't actually the face of the... Well, I mean, I don't think Logan Paul's tangling with the WWE over Birth of the Dragon.
Nah. Vince McMahon would burn your house down, probably. I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, 100%.
Him personally. He'd come up and find it on Google Maps.
He's personally blocking it.
Yeah, he'd bring the Hardy Boys and everything, man. That'd be like a Triple H run wild fest on me.
They'd put you through a fucking table.
Do you watch wrestling?
I did when I was a kid, as most kids did.
There's a lot of... I don't want to like rustle any jimmies, but I just don't get. I don't understand it.
I mean,
like for adults, there's a lot of adults that get all riled up and they love that shit. But you know, God bless you. Don't you know? But who am I to say what you can enjoy? I didn't even enjoy anything. So who am I to criticize?
I mean, go ahead, Charlie.
I was just going to say, I read like a super insightful piece on that from an avid wrestling fan who just said, "Yeah, we know it's not real, but gives us an excuse to drink and gives us a little show."
I mean, the best way I've heard it rationalized is it's theater. You know, it's like going to see a play.
Yeah, I know theater isn't real.
Yeah, it's like going to see a play, except they have choreographed stunts. It's really all it is.
I mean, I don't think anybody ever made the claim they love it for
reality.
Can you
take this in the other room? I'm sorry, guys. Just getting a call.
No worries.
That's the lawyers. They heard.
Fucking Vince McMahon.
Ethan, you can't say wrestling isn't real.
What do you mean he's on a Blue Apron sponsored podcast?
Yeah.
Dude, don't joke around these guys.
Bleep that. Bleep that.
Yeah, you better bleep that out for your sake, because you mentioned a competitor.
Oh,
you're right. There's and only Blue Apron and
food. No, I swear to God, I swear to God, bleep that out, because these guys don't fuck around, man. They'll be like, I need a make good.
Oh, God. All right, I don't want to piss off the WWE and the fucking
yeah, Jesus. Oh, my God, now he's done it
cut
again.
This whole section for real, Jackson.
And I'm not Blue Apron.
You can just bleep it, no?
Cut That's and funny. Bleep it.
I don't know. Yeah.
Bleep it, then cut it, just to be sure.
Bleep it, cut it, put it back in, and then bleep it twice. Then reverb it.
Erase the whole file, reshoot the whole podcast.
Yeah, auto-tune it as well.
Ethan, several people now have asked about your magnificent fupa. What's that about? Would you like to tell us about it?
Well, sure. I'm overweight.
Kaya, do you not know what a fupa is?
No, I do. I don't know why they're so obsessed with it and why they need details and updates on it.
Well, it's about 43 inches in width. It's about 68 centimeters in diameter. Take measurements every morning after my eggs and bacon. I don't know. It's I'm fat, dude. I don't know.
Okay. That's just such a mean question to ask somebody. Jesus.
I'm sorry. There was just a barrage of people going, how's this fupa? Is he fatter than Aaron? Who has more chins?
I mean, that's the audience running with every joke. Like, Ethan could be on his show and just be like, yeah, I've gained a couple pounds. And then the whole audience will be like, wow, what a fat ass. He's so massive. Roll him out of the studio.
I'm not sensitive about my weight. I'm fully aware of my monstrous status.
No, I mean, well, that's good. Fat ass. You should be able to... Yeah, laugh at yourself.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm always talking about like, oh man, today's it's gonna be fupa loss year, and then I just get fatter and fatter. So I have like a fat guy disease. Like I have a problem with food. You know, I empathize with like really big people who can't stop eating it away. Obviously, it's not that bad, but it's like, man, for someone who used that fast food analogy, I cannot put down a fucking hamburger.
Do you exercise in any way?
I go through phases, but for the most part, not regularly. It's hard to find that schedule. Mm-hmm.
The problem with food is that it's really the single most insidious addiction. Not that necessarily, but the thing with addiction is like if you're an alcoholic, for example, you can stop drinking and you don't ever have to drink again, but you can't just stop eating food forever. You still have to eat food and you have to just eat it in regulated portions, whereas that isn't true for any other addiction. So people who
That's a really good point.
I don't know, it's I feel bad for them too. You know, it's when you're angry, of course, you make fun of fat people. It's a fun thing to do, but the more you really think about it, it's fucked up. Nobody wants to be that way. Nobody wants to be 600 pounds, even if they live in denial and tell you it's, well, I'm curvy and fierce and curvy and awesome. And nah, dude, you're sad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I totally agree. All these like healthy at every size shit is just like, give me a fucking break, dude. You hate yourself and you're just like, you're trying to change the objective reality instead of just fucking losing weight.
Do you think that if you did find a way to work in that workout schedule and actually adapt how you do to being physically active, that you'd want to stick with it and maybe look into getting into good shape? Or are you? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I would. I've been skinny and healthy and physically active before, and I could tell you right now, and everyone listening, I'm way happier, way more confident. You know what I mean? It's just. It's a bitch, but like, yeah, man, it's way better.
Ever tried giving it up in smaller steps like I have recently? Because I've gained like 14 pounds in the last 2 months. That's where I...
Jesus!
Wow.
That's quick, man.
Oh, Kaya.
Look at fucking calorie crusader over here.
Kaya, you gotta speak a little louder over all that fluff, dude.
Yeah, well, who's that pork grenade talking right now?
Oh, God.
That's a lot.
All I hear is whale sounds, guys.
Wait, are you? No, wait. But seriously, are you okay? That's a lot of weight to gain in like a short amount of time. I'm not kidding.
I said, no, it's the thing is, I moved to Germany. And they just have so much delicious fast food and snacks.
It's just temptation.
Yeah, for the last 2 months, like I've lived on Mars bars and that kind of stuff. But now, I'm cutting down. I started working out again. But the thing is, just giving up sugar makes such a big difference in how you.
Have you had deep fried Mars bars yet?
No. And I don't want to
get him back on the wagon.
With just that sentence, Kaya's relapsing.
I know. I know. I just gained 5 pounds just hearing you say that.
Really?
No, we don't have like disgusting American fat fuck food here. It's just regular fast food that in Turkey I never had.
So bro, you that is in oh, you're Turkish.
Yeah. So he lived off dust for a while.
Yeah.
Basically.
I spent some time in Germany. That Turkish food, the Döner kebab.
Mm. Oh, it's delicious.
Forget about it. Little fucking yogurt, shaved meat. Forget about it right now. €5. Forget it.
Does that mean it's bad or good?
Forget about it, dude.
It's absolutely.
I don't know what that means.
What are you talking about?
Just forget it. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's by far the best street food I've ever had on the planet. It's like, truly and it's cheap. Is. It's just unbelievable, dude.
But oh my god! Ethan, for my entire life, I've had a problem with sugary shit and caffeine. Basically, I just could not give up Coca-Cola and coffee.
I've been there too. Yeah.
Do you have anything?
Just the worst.
Yeah.
Do you have anything specific you cannot give up, or is it just all junk food?
You know, actually, I don't really have a junk food problem. I don't drink or eat very sugary stuff very frequently. It's mostly just I think I overeat a lot. Like, if I sit down to eat a meal that I am really enjoying, I have a hard time not eating every fucking thing in front of me. And in America, you know, the portions are way too fucking big. Like, one, you sit down at a restaurant, and the portion's like 2,000 calories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think overeating is my biggest problem.
I used to have a huge problem just like that, too, where the only way I turned it around was by physically stopping myself from eating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be kind of full, but my brain would still be like, no, you can eat a bit more, but I would have to, you know, just actually catch myself and say, no, don't eat all of it. Don't do it.
I think that's my biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard barrier to overcome.
You never had weight problems, Charlie.
Oh, my God, yeah. Back in high school. Like, pretty much my whole life up until junior year of high school, I was mad overweight. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think...
You're pretty jacked now, my dude.
Oh, that was sweet.
Jackson, have you ever had weight issues? Because I think all of us, except for you.
I'm underweight, if anything.
Yeah, I think all of us, except Jackson, have been, like, overweight or...
I eat a lot, too. I don't quite understand...
How old are you?
I am underweight. I am 21 almost.
Oh my god, you're gonna be fat in like 6 years. You're gonna be fucking massive.
Take that. I'm
21
you.
Years old. I don't understand why I'm skinny. You'll be fat one day.
Jackson,
don't
he's cursed that. You. That's it. It's set in stone.
Why would you do that?
The prophecy
I'm just telling you the facts, bro. You gotta be prepared.
Jackson,
have to be prepared.
You're young and naive. You'll believe anything since you were born yesterday. What he's saying, it's a myth. It's fat logic. Metabolism doesn't change that much. Don't worry about it, man.
Yeah, just keep eating.
Am I going to be okay, Kyle?
Jackson, keep eating your deep fried Mars bars. You'll be okay.
You know, the skinny guys who are like, man, I'm so skinny and I eat whatever I want. These are the guys who are at the biggest risk of becoming morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I eat a normal amount. I don't overeat.
I'm just kidding. But one day you will realize that.
Ethan, you've scared me.
You have to be aware. I'm just saying you got to face life with a realistic outset. And one day, in about 5 or 6 years, things are going to change for you, man.
What do I do then?
You just got to eat less. Well, or take a walk. I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy, man. All I know is that you're going to get fat one day.
Do I eat less now? Do I just preemptively eat less?
No, enjoy your life now. It doesn't matter. Now you're good.
I don't want to get fat.
All right. Well,
I don't want to get fat and then have to lose fat. I'd rather just not get fat.
It's like a boogeyman now.
Yeah. One day you realize that you got a couple extra folds, and then that will be nature's way of telling you that it's time to fucking. Get
my neck
action.
Is fat. I've got a fat neck, Ethan.
It like started.
If I push my head back.
Be careful, Jackson. Like, it's spreading.
Like
there's
a
like
frog.
Six chins there. Yeah, it was like six chins. It's cool.
You should probably stop eating if that's the case.
Really? Entirely.
No, I'm just kidding.
Jackson, Jackson, what do you notice in common about every single fat person on Earth? They eat.
They smell.
No, they eat.
They eat.
If you stop eating now, you won't have this problem. There. The end.
No, I'm just going to get anorexic, though. It's like the opposite problem.
Have you seen a fat anorexic, Jackson?
So this ties in into our next question. Ooh. Our patron, I'm not upset, he's asking, Ethan, what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Strangest thing I've ever eaten. Mm. Ela, what's the strangest thing we've ever eaten?
Have any of us Have any of us here ever tasted cum? I know I haven't, for sure. But have you guys?
I haven't. I sure haven't tasted cum before.
That's awfully suspicious, Jax.
I like to believe you, dude.
That's like maybe that's why I'm so skinny. I just live off cum.
What's the strangest thing we've eaten, Ela?
I wasn't suspicious at all.
I haven't. I don't know that I've eaten anything strange.
Bullshit.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I wouldn't lie about it.
All right.
So no cum or no poo-poo?
First of all, this isn't an admission, but even if I had just like taken a shit out of the toilet and taken a bite, I probably wouldn't tell you about it.
Why not?
That's how I feel about a lot of giveaway.
No. Yeah. I've knelt
in front of my toilet and grabbed a piece of shit out and took a little nibble.
Finally, the truth comes out.
We knew it.
How old were you?
Well, that's an interesting thing.
I think it was just a couple of days ago, man.
That's always an interesting thing to think on, though. Like how much fucked up or weird shit people have done, and you'll just never know because they'll never tell you.
Yeah. Well, that's like, why.
Who cares?
Well, I care. For one.
Close the case on that one.
All right, discussion over. Who cares?
It's entirely different if like two consenting adults do something weird behind closed doors.
Well, no, but like Jackson, like let's murdering children. Let's use this whole thing as an example. What if you were like a serial rapist and murderer, and we just never
what
knew?
If?
Just once again, I've never tasted my cum or any cum for that matter.
Just for the record, guys, right here, right now. You know, I always like to think. I think that being crazy is like. The crazy isn't really thing. I think everyone's insane and just trying to act normal. And so you can't really ever tell like what's sane or what's crazy because we're all a little bit insane and just trying to pretend like we're totally normal.
Yeah, all right, Joker, calm down. That was
madness
like a,
is just a
Batman
push away.
Script.
Yeah. All it takes is a
I'm
little
waiting
push.
For the day where I feel confident enough where I'll tell stories about when I was in like high school, early college, that I've never said out loud. Like I think
Jeez,
about them.
What a tease!
May as well do it now.
Give us one?
Give us a preview.
Well, no, they're all like really. They're still like fresh. Well, not fresh wounds because I'm like.
Hold on.
Give us one. Give us a little
bit.
Did this involve just yourself or other people?
Oh, it's always other people. Like everything I do by my. Well, I guess there's. Oh, God. I can tell one, but only if everyone else tells something super embarrassing they've never said out loud. Ethan, this will be groundbreaking stuff. Prepare something.
Ugh, man, I can't.
Come on, Ethan. He's putting himself on the line for you.
Really? Putting him out
No, I'm not. Come on, this isn't therapy, you guys. We're all just trying to shoot the shit.
No, it is.
Oh, sounds like someone's chickening out.
He's got...
I don't want to disappoint. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't. Yeah.
All right. We'll leave you to last. We'll leave you to last. Though.
Well, we can just move on.
No.
Charlie, I want to hear you.
Charlie,
come on. I've got yours.
I've got something. I don't have anything more embarrassing than
I'm
the poster.
Not,
I'll tell him about that if you like.
Most embarrassing thing. Okay, I guess I have one that's pretty embarrassing that I can tell.
Okay, Charlie, go first.
Oh.
Yeah, Charlie, you're going first.
Mine's just more sad than anything. Like, there's one that I constantly think about. Well, constantly is the wrong word, but it's one of those things where if I'm in a really good mood, it'll cross my mind and man, my day's fucking
man,
ruined.
I hate shit like that.
Yeah, it's just like one of those things. It's like a day ruiner. Like, yep, that was me at one point. And it must have been like sophomore year of high school, somewhere in that ballpark. And I was watching porn, and I've talked about this on the podcast where porn watching with me back in my huge OCD days was like a fucking song and dance. I had like a whole script that I had to follow.
Tell me about it. Give me the Reader's Digest because listeners have heard it.
So basically, I'd watch the same video night after night. It was called Nice Pair of Lesbians. Rest in peace. It's not on the internet in good quality anymore. And, you know, if the video would play, there'd have to be certain marks where I'd have to make a facial expression at like X time in the video.
Oh,
stuff like that.
Okay.
But there was one particular bad night. I don't even know if it was like during this time when I was doing that ordeal, but I had a really bad jerk off experience. And I had to miss school the next day because I was inconsolable. I was just so incredibly
like PTSD.
Well, it's more so I got like the whole family involved and
How
upset I was and like I needed to be comforted. And I was talking to a girl at the time, talking in quotation marks, because she was just humoring me because I was a sad kid in high school. And I told her about it. And I totally burnt that bridge. Like, I told her, like, I was jerking off. And it didn't go as planned. And, like, my parents were trying to help me, and it wasn't working. So I needed
her. Oh, man.
Like, it was a shoulder to cry on.
What happened?
Well, needless to say, there was no reply. But
what happened?
She came right over.
How did it go? How did it go so fatally wrong?
What do you mean your parents helped?
Well, like, they were telling me it's not a big deal and stuff. Like, it's just, you know, it happens, I guess.
Happens to me too, champ.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
What happened?
It was a long time ago. I don't know exactly what went wrong, but I think it was one of, like, the times where I was experimenting with using headphones and listening to porn instead of just speaker audio. So I was getting, like, real deep surround sound, and I heard, like, a man grumbling in the background, and it just really threw me out of the mood, and I missed my mark.
It was your dad behind you making sure you were okay.
Like, it was like someone clearing their throat. Yeah, just something that didn't belong in the video.
Go get
at
him,
all.
Son.
It was just one of those things, man. It
to
was
be
like,
fair, I absolutely hate it when that happens in porn.
Yeah, I hate that. God. Shit.
You so were using your speakers that entire time, so your parents could hear you listening to
porn. Well, no, they had already gone to bed and stuff. I'd do it at night. I wasn't that bad.
So you wake them
this
up?
I put on
my blaringly loud surround sound porn after they went to bed. It was fine.
Wait, so what happened? I still don't understand.
I was inconsolable. I couldn't sleep. I was crying profusely.
No, but what happened? Your dad walked in or something?
Oh, no, nobody walked in. I chased them down once my jack-off session went wrong. I was like, I need help. It's all
okay.
Over.
It was just like an OCD thing.
Oh yeah, it was really bad. But like, I brought in the girl that was humoring me by talking to me as like a someone to help me.
Man, that's like a really unrelatable problem.
Yeah, I think the girl thing is more normal than like seeking down your parents and trying to get them to help you.
I don't think under any circumstances. This is just a little pro tip for all listeners out there. If you're talking to a girl and your jack off session goes wrong, don't bring her into it for help. I think that's just sage advice.
That's just a rule to live by.
Yeah,
I'm curious how since then, because you said like your OCD has gotten better. What happened? Like, how did you, you know, improve your quality of life?
Well, gradually, it started with small things. Like, I had like these massive rituals, the porn one being a big one, but I just start chipping away at them. Like, okay, I'll miss a facial expression at 6 minutes into the porn video this time, and then it started translating into okay, I don't need to wash my hands if I touch my ear, stuff like that. That's way overblown. It wasn't that bad, but to that degree.
Over the course of time, you just kind of like willed your way to improvement.
Yeah, just little by little.
That's kind of it took a twist for like an encouraging twist there.
Well, I hope no one has like a porn schedule script. I would wish that curse on no man.
But if you do, or you do have bad rituals, you can fucking overcome it. Become a cool ass dude just like you.
Oh, that was sweet. Aww. Your turn, Ethan. How many times have you cried to Ela about your bad jerk-offs?
I haven't cried to Ela about my bad jerk-offs, but this one's pretty embarrassing. It happened actually as an adult. I think I must have been like... Oh, man, I must have been like 23 years old or something. I went to Vegas with my family. I love playing poker. We are all sharing a hotel room. And I was down. I was sick. I had like the fever or food poisoning or something. And I was down playing poker and I was killing it, man. I didn't want to leave even though I was sick. And I felt like I had to shit. Mm-hmm. But I was doing really good. You know, I was having a great run there. I was up a couple $100. And it was getting like, man, I just had to cash out because I really needed the shit. And I had already pushed it way too long. And so I take the elevator up. I'm in the hallway. I'm wearing like gym shorts, something like that, because it's summer and I'm sick. I've got a fever. And I'm walking back to the hotel room and I, you know, got a little fucking fart going on there. And sure enough, man, that warm lava starts. Not only did it like, not only did I shit my pants, but it started dripping down my leg.
In the hall?
Yeah, in the hallway. Running down my leg. Oof. Like all the way down my leg. And I'm walking to pass. And I'm
Did
walking
you have to
past.
Clean it up?
I don't think it ever hit the ground. It was just kind of like a slow crawling lava, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm just walking down the hallway. People are walking past me, and there's shit down my leg, and I smell like I shit my pants. I go into the hotel room. My brother's in the bathroom showering. I'm like, Sean, my brother's name is Sean. I'm like, Sean, you need to get out right now. I just shit my pants. And he, of course, being my sweet brother, took his time. You know,
mm-hmm. Really let you fester in it.
Yeah, he let me. I don't know. Is that good? I shit my pants as a grown man.
I've shit my pants as a 14-year-old boy.
How did you wipe?
That was a shower experience. That was there was no wiping involved there. That was definitely a shower moment.
Did you destroy that shower?
I definitely dropped a couple chunks and pushed it down with my toes.
Ooh, waffle stuff.
No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. I didn't do that.
Yeah, he picked them up and ate them.
Yeah, I thought that was a good moment to give it a taste, you know?
Make sure you're healthy.
What about you, Andrew? What's your most embarrassing story that you have never told?
So, this one is hazy. I don't remember all the details because I was in fifth grade. I went to an after-school summer camp. One of those, like, literally, like, after school that you get on the bus and then you hang out there until, you know, your parent picks you up. And they would do, like, trips to the roller rink or the arcade or whatever and whatever. So it was after school. And so I distinctly remember, okay, this was fourth grade. Yeah. So fourth grade, back when I was a wee youngster, and I'm sure you guys all relate to this, the common insult at the time was gay. Everything was gay. Like, you're gay. Yes. That game is gay. This is gay. Everything is gay. That. Everything that was, you know, any insult ever, everything was gay. Oh, that's so gay.
The golden days.
So
the old good old days.
So me and two of the friends that I had made there at the summer camp decided that, like, we kind of got bullied. Not intensely, but, you know, like, we weren't very popular or cool or whatever. So we decided the ultimate comeback to being called gay was to just pretend we were gay. Now, this
thing, creative.
This didn't
I'll suck his dick right now.
This didn't lead to, like, any inappropriate, like, child shit. Like, we never, like, I didn't fuck him or kiss him or anything, none of that, but like but if we were, like, sitting on the bus and someone was like, oh, look at those guys, they're gay, we'd be like, yeah, we're gay, yeah, I'm so gay, yeah, ha, huh, we're gay, whatever. And it became like this kind of persona, I guess. I don't know, like, not flame.
That's when he became gay.
I mean, like, it's however much being gay is understood by fourth graders, you know what I mean? It wasn't,
I think that's very progressive, bro. You were early adopter, man.
We weren't super, like, flamboyant, but literally it was like, yeah, we're gay, we like dicks. Like, literally, it was just, it was just bullshit.
Sounds like you went out of your way for detail there.
Let me tell you, sometimes when people weren't even make fun of us, we'd just be like, we're gay, don't forget.
Maybe that's why you were bullied.
It's literally a chicken and egg kind of thing. It's like, I don't know how it started or which way it went, but anyway. So,
you don't know how it started. So it's just one day you decided to say that you were gay.
I mean, like I said, this was fourth grade. I don't remember the whole thing, but I distinctly remember being on, like, the bus going to different field trips and just being like, I'm gay. He's gay. I'm gay. Anyway, so the climax, the culmination of this story, the whole embarrassing moment is, so then fifth grade rolls around, and I'm enrolled in the same after-school program, the same whatever the fuck it is, the same, I don't want to call it daycare, but whatever. And I literally am blanking on what they're called. Aftercare. The same aftercare. So I pull up, and it's fifth grade, and it's like the first day of school, so it's my first day being there. And both of my friends who had joined in on me on the whole I'm gay thing were not there. They just were not part of the program anymore. So I tried to, like, make new friends, and I'm alone by myself. And, like, the first two groups of kids I try to hang out with, I'm just like, hey, I'm gay.
Oh, God.
And immediately, day one, it's like a whole new year, a whole thing. Like, that. This whole has no context to it. Or anything.
You can't be gay on your own either.
Exactly.
That loses all coolness. You need a friend.
I have no one to back me up. So I just immediately just became this awkward fucking loser to this huge group of kids.
What if someone called your bluff, like, yeah, suck us off then?
Well, thankfully, like, I dropped it, and about a week later, everyone forgot about it, and I actually did make friends in that year. But I distinctly remember, like, fourth grade, I just, the whole year, I had two friends, and the whole, our whole shtick was, we're gay! Ah, you can't call
us gay. Wait,
there
were two friends?
It was two, yeah, it was two, I had two friends, and we all played Pokemon.
Oh, you got around.
Well, I distinctly remember also, I stole one of their Krabbies when trading Pokemon, but that doesn't matter. The whole point is, in our minds, it was like, you can't call us gay if we say we're gay. Ha ha, we beat you. And yeah.
Was there ever any parental intervention where they're like, do you know what that means?
Oh, the counselors didn't give a shit. The only time they would ever step in with stuff like that is if, you know, if you were a kid, it was something like that. Like if someone said that's so gay and a counselor overheard it, they'd be like, do you know what gay means? Or, you know, don't like say it like that. But they,
right.
Our whole spiel, they never stepped in and said anything. Yeah,
that's another. I think that's another touching, beautiful story. I mean, what a early adopter. What a rights. Yeah. You're fighting for human rights.
He was gay, and now he's not. So inspirational.
I care.
Let's continue the trend, Kaya. What's your heartwarming story?
What's yours, Jackson? You're next on the list.
No, I'll go last.
All right,
I mean,
fine.
That's fine. I'm afraid I don't have anything better than the poster. Is that fine?
No, don't tell that again. We've talked about that a lot. No. There's got to be something, Kaya.
Not really. That's the most embarrassing I've done. I don't know.
Jesus Christ. Guy, you're like an actual amnesiac who forgot everything prior to high school.
And the poster. He knows the poster. May as well just give a short summary of the poster.
I mean, it was going to be for Ethan anyway. Ethan, do you know about the poster?
No, I don't.
Well, if you go to a Patreon, it's a $50,000 tier you can subscribe to. It's actually a legacy tier now. Nobody else has $50,000 tiers. It's that all throughout my childhood, for several years, I would just come on. So it's a jizz.
You were doing
poster.
A cum tribute.
Yeah, to a cheetah poster.
Let me check this out. So wait. there's,
he wants photographic
Are you an interested buyer?
This is historical. I mean, this sounds rare.
It is it's a rare issue of National Geographic, believe it or not.
The poster alone is worth like $2,000. So
no, it isn't. I tracked down the original line of the series, of the poster series, which I don't know, I forgot their name again, but I saw it online for another issue of the same series for $200. And we're selling it for $50,000, which means my jizz adds a value of $49,800. Yeah, so,
well, that's the value you're expensive. Giving us. It doesn't get that value until someone buys it for that value.
It wasn't appraised or anything and given that value.
And how many loads are on it, approximately?
Oh, I don't know. Like, when you first start jacking off, you do it like 10 times a day. Probably a lot.
Sure, at least.
I don't know.
I'm looking forward to cloning you, my dude.
I'd send you photos, but I don't want to dig them out again.
He's got like photos that he sends to like the occasional interested party.
Oh my god, I'm not that interested, so it's fine.
It's a lot. There's a mixed reviews on it. In my opinion, it's a lot less than you would expect. Like, it's not caked on, and the only time you can ever really see like the DNA on there is on a certain angle where you can see it's a few layers above the page. But otherwise, if you're just looking at it, it just looks glazed.
Like, well, that laminated. Makes it. I think that makes it perfect for display because
exactly, yeah, the collector's item.
It's beautiful. You could hang it in a museum. Go look at this poster, and everybody can actually tell what it is. It's a cheetah. But then you tell them, take a closer look at the brush strokes on this
right.
modern piece.
It's like
of
one
art.
Of those. It's one of those things where you have to rest your eyes, and all of a sudden you see a fucking child's jizz.
Exactly.
Is it like an optical illusion?
Is it a duck? Is it cum?
What about you, Jackson? What's your thing?
All right, so I'm going to level with you. I actually have tasted my own cum.
Oh, what a plot twist!
Whoa!
I can't believe it!
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
What the fuck? I'm not even mad. I'm not disgusted. I'm mad that you lied to me.
It's out of the blue. I know. So, it wasn't on purpose or anything. I was just jacking off, basically. And you know when you cum and you're still in the process of jacking off and you kind of like fling the cum, kind of. And it flung up into my mouth, basically. Like, I had a surprise expression because the porn was that good or whatever.
And then the addiction started.
Have you ever told this story publicly?
No.
Wow, this is exciting. This is groundbreaking.
So, you know, when you're finishing, Kaya, you're still kind of like pumping away, and it just kind of flung up.
You mean during?
It just kind of flung up and into my mouth, and it was in there, so the damage was done. So I thought I may as well just taste it.
Wow!
I don't understand how it got to your mouth. Like, even if you're pumping away,
it got everywhere.
Oh, okay, because it's not like a fucking rail gun or something.
He'd been edging for 20
No, it wasn't. It wasn't precise. It wasn't like just in my mouth. It was like all over my chest.
Wait, are you doubting that there's enough pressure, or that he doesn't have that much to aim?
It was more so the aim. It made it sound like a precision sniper.
Okay,
shot.
Okay.
No, I said I didn't do it on purpose. This was completely by accident. Completely by accident.
You see, never fucking do it shotgunned again. It. Nice.
Yeah. No, it went everywhere. It was all over the pillow. I must have like been edging for days or something because it was such a big load. And so
edging for days.
Put that
I
on
like
a t-shirt.
How you're swooning. Like it was such a load.
Oh my god.
If I could go back to those days. This is when I was like 14 too, so it was like one of the first times I ever masturbated.
Alright, yeah.
We've spent a lot of time talking about semen during this episode.
It's an important topic.
Just the podcast in general, really.
Generally, it's a big theme of the podcast, eh?
We shoot the shit here, Ethan. I don't know.
right, it comes up.
Well, Ethan,
just boys. Just a couple boys chatting.
Yeah. Locker room talk.
Yeah, exactly.
So Ethan Lonely is asking, can you give us any good tips on how to run a good podcast?
Well, you guys don't need tips. You guys don't need much tips. If you're talking about general notes, I mean, we've learned a lot from the beginning of when we started. The biggest thing on a personal note that I've learned is that as the host, and because what I do is different from what you guys do, because your guys' theme is just like a couple of guys just chit-chatting, but my thing is more of like an interview, like a one-on-one interview. And something that was really hard for me to learn, that took me a while, is that I just need to shut the fuck up and listen way, way, way more. Like my initial impulse was like, people are listening and they want to hear me talk and be entertaining. But I just ended up trying way too hard to be funny or interrupting the guest. And it was, it was really hard to overcome that impulse. But for me, that's the most valuable thing I've learned in a one-on-one interview situation is just shutting up and being okay not talking, right? Just listening. That's probably my biggest takeaway from doing a podcast.
We have the same trouble. We interrupt guests all the time. And maybe it's because we don't treat this as an interview per se, like you treat your show. It's just five friends sometimes fucking around. So I don't know. There's a lot less pressure on actually listening to we still listen, but I don't know, we just have fun with it. I don't know what else to say about it.
I think the expectation is different with what you guys do.
I mean,
do you like us? Have you enjoyed this experience?
I've had so much fun, you guys. We've talked about so much. We've covered so much ground, man. All the important stuff. Lots of jizz, lots of semen. I'm going to go try my jizz, and I'm going to go wipe my ass from the front. Man, this has been a total blast.
All right, well, we can start wrapping up.
No, I still have a couple of questions here. Hang on a minute.
Oh, yeah, what do you got?
Let's see. That other guy is asking, if you could sucker punch anyone you wanted from all throughout history, who would you punch and why?
The one person I would say I can't say because of... I can't say. Maybe you can read between the lines, but I can't say.
Okay, I think I know who.
I wouldn't say it publicly because there's just it wouldn't be worth it.
Okay, who's somebody you can say publicly?
I can't. I'm not even going to say it.
I just want to punch.
I'm not even
going to
say it. There's one person in particular, Ela. If you could sucker punch one person, she knows who I'm talking about.
I think I know who you're talking about.
I'm sorry. It sounds like a loaded question. If you could suck or punch somebody.
Suck or punch?
Suck or punch. One or the other.
Oh, man. If I could suck or punch, I'd definitely punch this guy.
You wouldn't suck him?
All right.
Maybe punch, then suck.
I mean, the question is kind of weird. I don't think anybody throughout history would expect a time traveler to come and punch them.
Is it a time travel thing?
Well, you can punch anyone.
Yeah. I don't need a travel machine to sucker punch this guy.
Vince McMahon.
I just gotta make a decision.
So that's it. I can't say his name. Otherwise, it'll be bad news.
Fair enough.
But I think hopefully enough people know who I'm talking about.
I think I know who you're talking about. The I'll comment ask you section after recording anyway.
Will be full of guesses now.
Yeah.
It's PewDiePie. Fuck that guy. No, I'm kidding. He's a great guy. Love him.
Okay, so this
I'd suck him.
From Meme. And Meme, I like this. This is a moderator in our Discord. He regularly posts selfies with his poo in the background. He's asking,
oh, God.
What would you do if a fairy turned you into the opposite sex for a week? You would look like a hypothetical relative of yourself. You cannot get pregnant.
Wait, I would look like myself?
A relative of yourself, like a female relative.
What would I do? I mean, yeah, I'd probably put shit up my vag, dude.
Ew.
Well, then you're really wiping back to front. God damn it.
That's so gay.
That's so gay. Yeah, that's really gay, Ethan.
What else am I supposed to say? Have a period and put a tampon in and see what that's like.
Is that all that women are to you, Ethan?
go kiss a boy. Well, that's really the only difference, right? Is that they have periods and have a vagina.
I'm
so
alongside
I would pretty
Ethan. I think that question.
I would do everything
awful.
The same.
That question's always horseshit. It's always just I would go fuck. Like that question's terrible.
That's the expectation. Because, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be looking to fuck guys, wouldn't you, Andrew?
Oh man, I could fuck more guys than you could, Jackson.
Everything's the same. I would be the same, except instead of putting a dick in shit, I would take a dick in my fucking vagina.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Well. And I would be... Yeah, anyway. I was going to make a Me Too joke, but I prefer not even touch that.
Are there any last questions, Kyle?
Sure. Have you ever... this is from Teach. Have you ever thought about taking the H3 podcast on the road? Like on a stage or a panel?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I do think about that a lot. Taking it on the road is so much work and it's so exhausting. One thing we're thinking about doing now that I'm actually really excited about that I'm actually talking with our agent and seeing if it's possible is having like a residency in LA. So once a month we can do a live show in LA at the same like theater or venue. And then so we don't have to travel. So we just do one live show every month in the same place. It's like a residency. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like
a good solution.
Idea.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Because it would be really...
Stay tuned for.
Yeah, it would be really fun to go and meet fans and say what up and hang out with people.
This is a different atmosphere than recording in your bedroom alone.
He doesn't do that. He has a studio. We record in our bedroom alone.
We do have a studio, but it would be a completely different experience for sure. Like being in front of a live audience would be really...
exhilarating, some would say.
It would be a thrill, my dude.
All right.
I had one more question before we wrap, unless you had one. Well, we can ask
them
both.
I have one more, but you go first.
Okay, I was just going to ask, Ethan, you've kind of become this beacon of hope for smaller channels on YouTube, and I was wondering what kind of advice you would give to up-and-comers who want to break out on the platform and do YouTube.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost is, like, you have to care... You have to want it so passionately that, like, anything I say or anyone ever says will never dissuade or change your mind or affect you at all. Like, I mean, if you're looking for tips or advice or motivation, you're going to want it so bad that anything I say is not going to matter. Like, you have to care about it that much and be so focused on it that it doesn't even matter. You have to, like, it took us a year to even get 1,000 subscribers because it takes time to develop your sense of humor and your point of view and your style. It really takes that long, in my opinion, to develop something meaningful, some kind of identity for what you do. So, like, I mean, you just got to keep slamming. You got to keep pushing. Don't get discouraged. And once you have a vision and once you know what you want to do and once you can kind of understand where you want to be, then just fucking don't give up, man. Just do it. You'll get better at it. And it takes time, you know? Just gotta do it. And
you basically gotta eat shit and breathe YouTube, right?
I mean, more or less, but I mean that advice is applicable to anything that you wanna do that's highly competitive. Like this whole thing with the partner program with all these people getting outraged because they can't make $5 a month anymore. It's like I mean, I try not to be sensitive because I know people are really upset about it. And I'm sure if at the time I got an email that said I was dropped, I would have been really sad by it. But to say that it actually discourages you, if anyone says that actually discourages them from pursuing their goals and dreams of being an entertainer, then, I mean, they were never destined to make it anyway, because we made $100 in our first year. Any YouTuber who's made it can tell you, like, that all that time is absolutely the money that you'll lose is absolutely meaningless. It doesn't matter at all. I mean, you just, like, it does in the scheme of things, like, it's absolutely insignificant.
All right. Mm-hmm. Last question then.
I think that's good advice, by the way.
Definitely.
I agree.
Eating
shit and breathing YouTube, very important.
Stop crying about $1 a month. Jesus. Kickstart is asking, is this the first time someone will be coming on the podcast to defend themselves? This man has a lot of explaining to do for ignoring Charlie's DMs.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, here I am, right?
Mm-hmm. Defend yourself, Ethan. About that, actually.
Defend yourself. Do it.
I think I did in DMs. Charlie was like, hey, he kept sending me these really beautiful, loving DMs. And I didn't want them to stop. I didn't want him to stop. So I was afraid if I answered that he would stop DMing me. And I told him eventually, I was like, hey, man, I'm reading these. I just love waking up to these every day. I'm afraid that if I said anything, you'd stop doing it.
It's abusive.
That's so beautiful. That's what I like to imagine that girl that I cried to about my bad jerk-off thought as well. It was so beautiful. She just wanted more.
That's definitely what she thought, dude. I'm sure of it.
No doubt. Right, we can start to wrap up now. We're at that 1:30 mark, and we usually wrap up around here. Plug anything you want, Ethan. Upcoming tour, big songs coming out, diss tracks maybe.
Check out...
I think we actually.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You can bleep that. I'm kidding. I know you had to cut that. You can cut that.
All right. Let's get a good lead in so we can edit it. Wow, what a great racial slur, Ethan. I've never heard that one before. Anyway, feel free to plug whatever you want.
Listen, my friends, I just think that I love the podcast. I love what you guys do, Charlie. I've been such a huge fan of yours. I think you might be the funniest guy. One of the funniest guys on YouTube. I've been a huge fan of yours since even before we had subscribers. So it's a thrill and a joy to be here with you guys. I had a ton of fun. I got nothing to plug. Support these guys on Patreon. Let them keep doing their thing. And I'm about to go hop on over there and drop a fiver right on the goddamn table for you wonderful guys.
You were such a sweetheart.
Yeah, that was about the sweetest sign up from anyone.
If you got nothing to plug, would you care to plug the actual link to the Patreon?
Jesus.
Here, let's see. Whoa. Patreon, the official. It's the dick. Oh, that's not you guys. That's like Patreon. What the fuck?
We are friends with them, but they are not us. No.
Well, you guys may guess that it is patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that you guys don't hide your dollar amount either.
Oh. Do people hide the dollar
amount? I didn't even know that was an option.
A lot of people started. We had a Patreon back like in the early days of our channel. And before then, you didn't have an option to hide it. And I mean, it's everyone's prerogative. I don't really mean to lay serious criticism against anyone. A lot of people do it, but I just think I like the transparency.
Yeah, I prefer transparency as well.
I mean, at the end of the day, regardless, we do this for fun at the very base matter of fact of it. So...
But you guys are, I mean, you guys all should be making a living from it by now with the spots and stuff. Like enough for all of you guys to buy. That's awesome. That's fucking, bro, that's so sick, dude. God bless the internet.
Yeah, if we can give a quick hug and kiss to our fans, both Jackson and myself used to work like full 9-to-5 jobs, and we've both had the pleasure of quitting that to focus on podcasts.
Man,
stuff now.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. Good job, guys.
I didn't hear Hila clap.
Hila, can you get Hila? Congratulate them, would you please?
Congratulations, by the way. Hi, I'm a big fan of all you guys.
Oh, that's so nice.
She can't hear you guys, but they were just pining over your comment.
Yeah, that was so sweet. Yeah. Tell her we're a big fan of her as well.
They say they're big fans.
We love what you two do. We do. No bullshit. We do love what you guys do on YouTube.
Thanks, man. Thank you, dudes. Appreciate it a lot.
All right. Thank you, everyone who's watched this episode. Go check out Ethan and Hila at H3H3. For the two people in our audience that haven't already, go watch them. They're great. All right. Thank you, everyone, for watching.
Thanks
we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.